Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on News Talk on Radio Islam International and simulcast on Sirius FM. Today we're talking about fire safety. Now, we know there's this huge irritation in South Africa called load shedding. I'm sure everyone's rolling their eyes right now. And we also know the dangers that comes with load shedding. And also with winter approaching, unfortunately, as much as we like being huddled near the fireplace or sitting near a bar heater, we do realize that there is lots of responsibilities that comes along with it. And unfortunately, many of our youth lose their lives due to negligence and due to sitting in a room that is not supervised. And unfortunately, when it comes to winter, there are lots of fires. Recently, we had a bit of an episode at home. Shukr alhamdulillah, just during the day. So, you know, my family and I were at home. But we did have an incident that took place at home. It was on a Sunday, about a month ago. And alhamdulillah, everyone's okay. But as much as an educator, we keep reminding children what to do in case of a fire, who do you call in case of emergencies. When you are faced with such a situation, no matter how much you know, at that moment, you can go into three different modes. You can go into freeze mode, you can go into fight mode and get some help, or you can go into flight mode and run away. And like I said, as much as you know at that point, because of shock and panic, you seem to forget everything. So inshallah, the intention for the show is firstly a reminder to myself, to our listeners, and to the youth that are listening. I mean, many parents do go to work. Sometimes their children are at home when they come back from school or madrasa. Sometimes maybe parents may be working late. Children do use appliances at home, and you know, life happens, fires do happen, but they are precautionary measures. And that's why this morning, my guest is Mohammed Sharif Mari from the Johannesburg South Emergency Services Unit. He specializes in public education on safety, and today he will be talking to us about fire safety. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mohammed Mari, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum wa barakatuh, Bibi Aisha, and the listeners of Radio Islam.
Okay, like I said, a very touchy subject, a very scary subject. You know, sometimes we take it for granted. Yes, I know I need to do this. I know what I need to do. But like I said, for someone who has been through it recently, a very traumatizing experience. And I'm an adult. So imagine for children if they are put in a situation like this.
That's so true. And, you know, like the saying goes, we believe in preventing things from happening. That is why, as a fire department as well, we are moving over to a proactive approach to these emergencies.
Yes. Now, I need to ask you something. Like we said, you know, with load shedding, you know, obviously they say, you know, like remove all the plugs, you know, just check the appliances. But again, life happens. With winter approaching and you being in the position where you are, the need for fire safety awareness for our youth, why the need?
You know, anything that causes spark or that causes heat can cause fire.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is we start off with load shedding.
Yes.
It is becoming a common thing in South Africa, load shedding. And even if you look at the stats, you'll see that most of the fires are turning towards formal dwellings.
Yes.
In the beginning, it used to be informal dwellings,
mm-hmm.
but now it's moved to formal dwellings with the highest stats of fires. What people need to do is everything needs to be practiced or to be put into training to become the norm.
Mm-hmm.
So we preach fire safety, whereby we believe that if you at home comply with fire safety, it will teach you and it will make you fire conscious.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, which means that, you know, every day, like you sit down and have a chat with your children, you should educate them about these safeties as well. So if you have a load shedding, you know, your children automatically will know that this is what dad or mom said, that we need to do A, B, or C. When you talk about A, B, or C, it is the first thing that needs to happen is whatever is on needs to go off.
Mm.
You know, we're talking about if you were watching TV or your TV needs to be shut down, If you had a heater on in the room, heater needs to be shut down. If you had any other appliance, electrical appliance, if you had it on like a radio or a computer, a laptop or a desktop, all these appliances needs to be switched off, because when the electricity returns, that is where your problem comes and it causes fires. So it's a good thing to remind your children that just remember one thing, whenever there's load shedding, put all appliances, switch it off. And that's a good advantage in given the load shedding.
Oh, definitely. You know, as I'm speaking to you now, I'm thinking, you know, at school level, you know, we have fire drills very often, you know, obviously in case of an emergency, children know what to do. How many parents or caregivers have actually had a fire drill in their home? Makes you think. You know, Allah forbid, if you are faced with a situation like that, how are you going to evacuate? What are you going to do? So something for listeners to think about, don't you think?
That's so true. The problem that we are facing currently is we are running safety programs for the department with all schools in Johannesburg. And the approach that we are doing now is to educate our kids, and we do a program known as CERT, Schools Emergency Response Teams. So what we do is we go to the school and we teach the learners as well as the educators as well to be, you know, self-sustainable until we arrive. Because we know that, you know, for our service in, it's a problem for our service in the city of Johannesburg due to a lot of problems like traffic, weather.
Yes. By the time you arrive at the scene, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now what we do is we try to bridge the gap and make these people self-sustainable up until we arrive.
Yes, definitely. And then also encourage the children that, again, like I said, Allah forbid, if you are faced with a situation of a fire in your home, or you could be at a family member's home, then you are also empowered to empower them to know what to do in that state. Because, like, again, I'm saying, speaking from experience, as much as you know, at that point in time, you know, you're in a state of shock.
So true. And like you said, it's either flight or fright. That is what
Or even freeze mode. Yes, no, most definitely. So maybe something for parents, you know, our listeners to consider, you know, maybe this weekend, sit and have a look at your home, you know, obviously check your evacuation points, and then maybe, you know, like design an evacuation route, because that's something children need to know, because there's often times when children are at home, or maybe mom and dad could be ill, or they could be sleeping and something could happen, and, you know, maybe you, the child, that needs to be the one that needs to alert everybody and help them. So something for parents to think about and design and hopefully put into practice.
That's so true, Bibi. The approach for going to our youth today is a simple solution to our problem. Because as we know, the saying goes that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That is the problem that we have with our adults today. You cannot teach them anything. They know everything as far as safety is concerned.
No, that's like we say, we need these gentle reminders. You know, a lot of times when things occur, you know, we tell ourselves, this won't happen to me. We may read about it in the newspaper, or, you know, read about it on social media, or it happens to other people until you are faced with that situation.
Right.
But, Mohammed, I need you to please, if you can just share with us, you know, based on your experience, what are the most common causes of a fire at home?
There are many different causes with electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Electricity is one of the most common causes today because of your load sheddings and your illegal connections.
Yes.
The second thing is appliances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every kid has got a cell phone, and at night they plug in the cell phone, put it on charge, and put the phone under the pillow or some, you know, close to substances that can touch a lot.
Yes.
So these are the most common ones. And then we have the one where mommy is cooking and she needs something for the pot, leaves the stove on and goes and buys something at the shop.
Hot oil.
That's what we're talking about. You know, and sooner or later it heats up and you have a fire in it. So these are the most common ones. Then we go over to the other ones for smokers, where people smoke and doesn't control the extinguishing of the cigarette. you know, doesn't extinguish it properly, and these also cause fire. And then going back to electrical, one of the most common causes that we find nowadays is people using extension cords as permanent connections, meaning that what they do is they plug the extension in, somewhat underneath the mat, to the TV, and have 20 other things plugged into these one plug, and you are sitting with a time bomb, a ticking time bomb.
Most definitely, yes.
Because this cord runs underneath the mat, it leads up, people walks over these over the cord, cracks the cover, and every time you switch it on, it makes a spark.
Mm-hmm.
So sooner or later, it's going to ignite, and then you sit with a fire.
When you're sitting with the problem. Going back to cigarettes, you know, for like the naughty teenagers who are probably smoking in their rooms, maybe their parents don't even know they're smoking cigarettes, and maybe mom or dad or grandmother or somebody walks in and, like you say, you know, throw the cigarette under the bed. They haven't... Well, the cigarette's still lit up, and then you're sitting with a big problem later when everyone's running outside and your house is probably burned down.
That's so true. And the,
so the teenagers that are smoking, you know, think about what you're doing and stop it.
That's the only solution is, as a child, you should know that smoking is not good for your health.
In the first place, yes.
The second thing is that you know that you're underage to smoke. It's not a good thing. And the third thing is, you know, if you want to become a sportsman or a sports lady or partake in any sport, it is going to hamper your performance. So it's not a good thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing to prevent a fire from taking place is abstain from smoking. There is no other advice that you can give them, because what happens, like you say, is mom or dad comes into the room, and what's the first thing they do is chuck the thing under the bed.
Exactly.
You know, and this is how they cause fires, because now mom is standing there and the cigarette is causing havoc here under the bed, and very soon you're going to have a fire.
Yeah.
So the best thing is to prevent.
Definitely. And then also talking about matches, sometimes children play with matches, and obviously, you know, that can have devastating consequences.
Yes, Bibi, on that, I believe that, or we in the fire fraternity believe, that lighters and matches fires are due to adult negligence. Because if you're not going to let it lie around, your child won't fiddle. A child has an inquisitive mind.
Yes.
So it's important for you as an adult to know that if you're a smoker, don't leave your matches where children can get to it.
Mm.
You know, and teach your children. Teach them that when they come across any matches and lighters, they should not touch it. They should call an adult and tell the adult to remove it.
Mm.
You know, and once this becomes the norm to a child, it will always, you know, assist or prevent fires from taking place.
Also with load shedding candles.
Candles as well. And, you know, the best thing is that there are so many homemade devices that you can create. Like we came up with... a method of using a candle. You take your glass bottles, your peanut butter bottles, and these jars that you get, the glass jars. Don't throw them away. Take off the label on the glass, fill it 3/4 with sand, cut your candle in three, put the candle in the sand in the bottle, and if that bottle should tilt, the sand will extinguish the fire, the flame.
Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant.
You know, so these are all remedies, ways of preventing fires with candles and things. A candle is not supposed to be, even the normal candle holders that you are using, the curtain blows against this candle, it sets the room alight, and there you have a fire.
Yes.
Using this common method of a jar, you know, peanut butter bottles or whatever big bottle you have, and a sand, already you have eliminated some sort of a fire.
Some possible problem. And I think another culprit would be bar heaters. You know, often we get so comfortable sitting in front of this bar heater, and maybe, you know, your linen could touch the bar heater or your slippers, and you're sitting with a big problem as well. I mean, you gentlemen and your team, you know, work in this area. You, when you're identifying causes, I'm sure that's a very common problem, especially with winter approaching.
Everywhere, not only informal, formal
yes.
as well.
Yes.
You know, these heaters are being used in a wrong way. you know, there's if you look at the label that comes with it, it reminds you that about ventilation as well.
Yes.
You know, and the most dangerous thing is to take your heater, put a towel or something over it, and the heat sit in front of it and heat you up. These are the common things that is happening nowadays. The other thing is keep it away from anything that can burn, because heat can radiate. Sun, you can see how high the sun is, but you still feel the heat. The second method of don't put it too close to bed. Okay, anything that's right.
Yes.
Remember that before you get into bed, switch off your heater. Don't get into bed and leave the heater on, because you might fall asleep and it can cause a fire, or you can even suffer things. No, due to overheating and things like that.
And electrical blankets, I would think, would be another major culprit when it comes to contributing towards fires at some point. I don't know, you advise, you tell us.
Yes, Vivi, it is a nightmare, but if you use it safely, you know, it can become useful to people. The problem with your blankets is human error. People get into bed and leave the blanket on. Number one is, we know that water is a good conductor of electricity. So if you start sweating and that goes onto the electrical appliance, it can cause that shock. Right? The second thing is, it can overheat and it can spark and it can cause. If we use these things properly, it will, you know, it will, or we teach our children the safety aspect of things, it won't be that dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing to do is to educate your children about any heated appliance that you have in your house. And if you get into bed, switch off. That is the rule.
So the most important, the key message here is, you know, be responsible and teach your children to be responsible.
It's so true, because we must remember one thing that, you know, everything starts, safety starts with you, the individual. You understand? We cannot, shift the blame to the producers of these things, or we cannot shift the blame to the fire department or any other emergency services. Safety starts with you, the individual.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to practice safety all the time.
And obviously when you talk about wiring as well, you know, you'll notice in a way where you say like plug points are overloaded, lots of loose wires, you know, wires are not tubed or not clipped. So those are things that people need to look after, because, I mean, in any home or business, I mean, it's all about maintenance as well.
That's so true. And nowadays we have, you know, your own home electricians, whereby wifey tells hubby, hey, you're lazy, you don't even fix. And now poor hubby doesn't know a thing of electricity, but he's forced to do something. You know, we believe that everything needs to be left for the professional.
Mm.
If you're not an electrician, don't even attempt to do it, because you might just wire your wiring the wrong way, and that is what causes spark. And wherever there's a spark, there's a fire. You know, so if you don't have any knowledge of electricity, stay away from it, and the golden rule is get the professional out to connect it for you.
Not necessarily the cheapest electrician, but the electrician, like I say, with the experience that's certified. I would think that would be also very, very important. Okay, we will have an ad break in the next 2 minutes, but what we can cover for now, let's just see what we can talk about. Do's and don'ts when there is a fire at home.
The important thing, that you need to know is if there's a fire, that you need to raise alarm. Now, when we say raise alarm, you need to notify people that there's an emergency. Number one is you need to, if you've got a device at home, which everybody is encouraged to have, like a horn, you get the air horns, you get different things that you can use to raise alarm. Right, raise alarm so that everybody can wake up if they are asleep, or everybody, wherever they are, will know that there is an emergency. The second thing that you need to do is, if you have a fire extinguisher at hand, and the fire is in the, I put the emphasis on this, if the fire is in the incipient stage, which means in the beginning, you can attempt to fight the fire. But if the fire is not in the beginning stage, don't even attempt to fight the fire if you are not trained to do so. Get out of the house, and the way to get out of the house is on your way, close all doors and windows, leave all valuables behind, everything leave behind, and like you go out, get if there's a cat or a dog or whatever you have on your way out, whatever animal, take them with you out and go to a certain point. Then you raise the second alarm, and that is to call the fire department and let them come out and do the emergency.
Okay, Mohammed, we're going to continue, inshallah, after the air break. Excellent points that you've raised, inshallah. We can use this and practice this in our lives, inshallah. If you do want to call us on Radio Islam International, the number is 011-854-1548, and we will be returning shortly, inshallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Youth Talk on Radio Islam International and Simulcast on Sirius FM. This morning we're talking about fire safety with Mohammed Sharif Mari, who is from the Johannesburg South Emergency Services Unit. And Mohammed, before the ad, we were talking about possible causes of fire, what we can do to empower our children to ensure that when there's a fire, what they can do, and you know, obviously, maybe consider having a fire drill at home and evacuation methods. And just before the ad break, we spoke about do's and don'ts when there is a fire at home. So you were getting to the part where, obviously, when the fire is out of control, get in touch with the fire department and let the experts handle it. Am I correct?
That's so true. Don't try and be a hero. You can either be one of two heroes, a dead hero, or you can be a crippled hero to someone because of trying to be a hero. You know, so leave fires for professionals. The all important thing to remember is to evacuate. Get life out of the building. We must remember one thing, that life can be replaced.
So life cannot be replaced, exactly. No problem.
Building can be replaced, that's material, but life cannot. So it's important for you to evacuate.
Most definitely. Now, if it's like a small electrical fire, like something that you can contain yourself, what should be done?
With electrical fires, the important thing to remember is that the first thing that must happen is you must switch off the supply. That is the main box, switch off the electricity, and half the work is done. If you have the relevant fire extinguisher, always remember that you cannot use water and electricity because it's a conductor.
Yes.
So the best fire extinguisher to use is the dry chemical powder fire extinguisher, because it is one of the extinguishers that you can use on any class of fire, be it electrical, be it oil, or be it, you know, any other, type of fire.
Mm. Okay, and then for something small, like you said, obviously you can't use water, so you said sand, flour, I mean, is, you know, these are like an old DIY, I won't say DIY, but general, you know, things that we taught or we led to believe. You're the professional, you tell us. You know, if it's something small, maybe mom was on the phone, you know, when got a bit distracted and the oil started getting hot, or sometimes maybe, you know, there's kids at home, there's teenagers at home, maybe big brother or big sister decides they want to fry some chips for the younger one and they're hungry and there's a fire there. So when it's at a point where it still can be contained by you, what do you do? Like you said, you do not use water, obviously.
Okay, the important thing to remember is I'm not going to tell you to use flour, I'm not going to tell you to use whatever device. The important thing to remember is you need to have a fire extinguisher at hand.
Yes.
Wherever there is a possibility of a fire. So it's a simple piece of equipment to learn or to teach your children to use, and it is the best type of equipment to use in the event of any fire, be it your oils, be it electrical. So it's one extinguisher that you can use to extinguish any type of fire in your house. I'm not going to go the route where we tell you to use different you know, homemade
things. Because you're right, the hero, like you said, what you started just now saying, you can be one of two things, a dead hero or a crippled hero. So we don't want any crippled or dead heroes.
Or dead heroes, we don't want them, because we still need the Ummah to be strong.
Of course.
Strong people, you know. So I'm not going to encourage that, because, you know, sometimes the youth, they misinterpret what you say.
Most definitely. Yeah. And also importance of servicing the fire extinguishers.
That's the biggest problem is, if you come across a liquid or, let me say, an oil fire, and you tell the individual to use a flower, you know, the method of applying it to that oil, they might chuck it on the oil, and what you, they'd be spreading more fire than anything else. So there's a way of doing that. For kitchen, when it comes to oil fires, we have fire blankets, or you can use the fire extinguisher, one of the two. A fire blanket is effective because it's a simple piece of tool whereby if there's a fire, you open up the blanket over the burning pot or the pan or wherever the fire has occurred, and it will smother the fire. So it's a simple method, and it's very safe, because our common goal is safety.
Yes. Okay. Mohammed, please, emergency contact numbers in case of a fire. Now, this is also, you know, numbers that, you know, we must memorize, obviously educate children to memorize, because, again, being in that experience not too long ago, you know, you go into this brain freeze. No one's number comes to mind, so you just run outside and scream for help. But, okay, that's one method. But, again, emergency contact numbers, please, in case of a fire.
Okay, the important thing that you must remember is that for you to get hold of the fire department, you need to know the number.
Yes.
And even if you know it by mind, during times of emergency, you tend to freeze, like you say, and you tend to forget. So the best thing to do is, number one, is display the emergency number everywhere in your house, if possible, because a child learns what they see. So if you forget about a number, it is displayed on the wall, immediately you will be able to dial that number. So this is one of the things that we need to encourage, is to display the number everywhere, be it a fridge magnet, be it your own type of thing to display the number. That is the first thing that needs to happen. For any emergency in the city of Johannesburg, the toll-free number is 101-101-77. 101-77. That's a national free, toll-free number. Then we have the second one from your cell phone, which is 112. And then now lately, a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, we have experienced problems with people dialing the 911 number. They are still waiting for that flight from America. Okay, then what we did with that number is, we put it to use, where if you dial 911, it diverts to 112.
Okay.
So the 911 number, you can use it on your cell phone in South Africa, because it's going to divert to 112.
Okay, but I think let's just maybe emphasize this. Let's just use 112. Let's just rather do that.
Well, you whatever, even if you dial the 911, it's going to divert.
Yes. Okay.
So that system is in place, so you don't need to worry about that. You can dial 911. We don't need that flight anymore. Then we come to the third one. That is 011-375-5911. That is directly to our control room. And that is the best number to use, because if you use the others, it goes to another control center. And then only there will be lots of questions to where you want to be. They'll put you through to Johannesburg. Johannesburg will put you through this. It's a long way of doing it. So the best advice for people is to phone 011-375-5911. That is to the City of Johannesburg Emergency Services Control Room.
Okay, that's a very, very important number. So I think let's just go through it again. The toll-free number, please.
101-77-101-77. And then we have the cell phone numbers, which is 112, and the other number that you don't want to, you know.
911.
And the last one is to dial the 011-375-5911.
Okay. What I need to do is, Mohammed, I think we're waiting to try and get Martin online, but I think we're having a bit of difficulty. Martin works with disaster management, so I hope he's not on call right now, because when we talk about the aftermath of a fire, so maybe you can cover a little bit of that with us. But I'm going to ask specifically just now, when you gentlemen are called to the scene, I'm sure, you know, in your experiences being with this department, you have seen some really, really horrific scenarios. And a lot of it could have been prevented, you know, if people were not negligent. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct, because 80% of fires are caused by human error.
Yes, yes. Now, another common thing that, you know, we notice that does happen, you know, sometimes the children, you know, from informal settlements would tell us at school the cause for fire. And then sometimes also when it comes to celebrations, where sometimes children want to celebrate using fireworks, which is also very dangerous, because we've seen this ourselves. Sometimes a firework gets stuck into someone's garden where they have a thatch roof, and then a fire starts from there. Children getting injured. You know, maybe if you could share some more experiences that you've had with this.
Okay, we're going to start off with the informal settlement. The city of Johannesburg is, for the past 10 years, has developed a Jersey safety kit. In this Jersey safety kit, what we put in this kit is a bucket, a big bucket, where we put in a safety primer stove, we put in a light that works with solar. We put in the bottle for the candle safety, and we put in a smoke detector. And these are the things that we go out to the informal settlements, encourage the people to use it. We give them training on this. The paraffin stove, or the stove that they are using currently, is SABS. That's a minimum standard. It's got that requirements. And we build safety factors in these stoves. If you bump the stove and it falls over, the flame automatically shuts down. Then we have the one with the pump, you know, the old primer stove.
Yes.
We have the one with the pump on the side that if you don't give it three pumps after a certain time, then the flame shuts down. This is for people leaving the stove on, going to go buy something at the shop and come back. So now you've got to stay with your stove all the time to keep cooking. Say after 5 or 10 minutes, what happens is if you don't give it three pumps, then it shuts down. We've built something, so the safety aspects into our stoves. The smoke detector that we are using, it's a cheap, affordable smoke detector. It works with a battery, and every 6 months you just change the battery. It is as effective as the modern one that you find in homes or buildings, and it makes a big noise, because we must remember one thing, that most of our people die of smoke inhalation, not really the flame.
Yes.
Before the flame get to them, they already dead. So it's important for us to know, you know, like we said, we thinking proactive.
Yes.
So that when that fire starts, the smoke starts, the fire starts giving off smoke. It eventually sets off the smoke detector, and it will wake up anybody, no matter how far, what kind of sleeper you are, it will wake you up. So so it's important for us to remember. So this is the concept that we've put together in the city of Johannesburg, and we can proudly say that our shack fires has come down with a very big percentage.
Alhamdulillah, shukran, alhamdulillah. Now, Mohammed, please, if you can just share practical things that we can do at home when it comes to our homes and structures, you know, like for parents, for caregivers to do to ensure that, like I said, life happens. Sometimes a fire can happen. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. But what can we do for precautionary measures? I mean, I know, obviously, you know, store flammable products away from heat. Don't have your stove near... You don't have curtains near your stove. Obviously, do not have a plug point above your stove. You know, those basic things. But what other things can you add on to help empower our listeners?
The The best thing to remember is always to think safety as far as anything is concerned. Everything that can endanger your life can kill. And for you to remember that is by practicing safety all the time. In our homes, chemical safety, you've mentioned your chemicals.
Yes.
Chemicals are not to be stored together. If you take your handy andy and you take your jig and you take your... These things react when they're close to each other. So this is a ticking time bomb in any home. So what we encourage people is to separate chemicals. Some of them add the pool acid as well into one cupboard. So it's important for you to remember to separate your chemicals. And as far as possible, don't store them in your kitchen. Rather store them outside in a cupboard somewhere outside your home, because these things, they generate their own heat. And if the container, like the fly-by-night products that you buy today, if the container starts melting, the liquid will spill, and it will mix up with other liquids, and it can generate its own heat, and then eventually you'll have a fire. So on chemicals, separate them, don't store them together. If possible, store them outside the home, because this is a ticking time bomb for anybody. Mm. We know that we go for the cheap chick and the cheap ones here on the streets. That is the danger, because the container that it comes in, it is not the original container. The original container or the product that comes out with that specific container is approved containers to store that chemical in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to prevent storing them together, and we're going to prevent mixing our chemicals, and try as far as possible to leave them outside. For our caregivers is to remember that you are the eyes and you are the hands of someone that you are assisting. So you need to think safety. If the one that you are giving care or aid to is a smoker, make 100% sure that it's safe. You don't leave that person, individual, that if he's a smoker, sit with him until he smokes, finish his cigarette. You need to get rid of the cigarette, whatever's left over. And remember always that... Yes.
And instead of listening, I'm just clearing my throat. I just wanted to add one as well, that, you know, if you have an elderly person living with you, grandma, grandpa, or, you know, an elderly aunt or somebody staying with you as well, you know, again with winter, it's cold, you want to leave the heater there, you want them to be comfortable, but then also, they shouldn't be left unsupervised.
That's so true, because you must remember one thing, that the older we become, we tend to lose, like, touch and sense. You know, you can't really feel heat and things like that. So it's important for us to remember not to leave them unattended. These people as well, if they help themselves, you know, by going to bath, because normally showers are dangerous for them, if they need to shower, you know, make it safe for them, or be there, let someone be there with them. Because a simple thing like opening the hot water first can be a problem to our older people.
True. Yes, no, I'm listening to you. You are still giving us like a checklist to do at home.
Yes, even our kids, teach them to open the cold water first and then the hot water. Simple things like that. You know, what happens is, if you have a child that is maybe epileptic, or if you have any way that my child will slip and fall into a bath, or any way that he will slip and fall into a shower, either way, it can be detrimental, because then you have hot water running all the time, and you have someone frying in hot water. Sorry to use that word.
But that's so true. I think another common sight that we do see, you know, you see it at work, you see it at home, when people are done charging their phones, they tend to leave the adapter plug, you know, still
on.
On, yes. And so you take your cell phone or your tablet or whatever, and you leave, and that adapter plug is still on. And they don't realize that that's still live.
So true. Your little one can come and put the other end in his mouth.
Yes.
And he can be electrocuted. The second thing is, water might get into contact with that. It can cause spark and it can shock somebody. The last thing is, it is covered with a plastic covering that heats up if you leave it on too long. And if this covering starts cracking, sparks will be released, and soon you'll have a fire. You know, so it's important for you to remember that after charging your cell phone, put it off. Put it off, switch it off, and prevent as far as possible to charge your phone in your room. Because you'll get into the habit of getting into the bed and using it while it's charging, connected to an extension cord that is running across the floor, if you still need to do that. And some of us even put the cell phone under the pillow. Some of us fall asleep on the bed with that, and these are all the dangers that can cause fire. So we're trying as far as possible to avoid that. We'll charge our phones at a specific place in the kitchen, somewhere, wherever. This is the rule of the house, finish. If you want to charge a phone, you do it here, and that's it. Because we know that the area that we allocated for charging our phones is safe. It's either on a brick wall or it's either on a surface that won't catch a light. And it will prevent you from laying in your bed and getting up. You will never get up to go to the point to go and answer every time. So make that rule in the house that this is where phones get charged and nowhere else.
And I think also important for the parents to practice that rule, and inshallah your children will follow.
I mean, that's so true. That's so true, because you must remember one thing. Children learn what they see. You know, and if they see you doing that, look at the driving as well, texting behind the wheel. Cell phones are becoming one of the best forces of mortality.
Yes, because of irresponsibility, most definitely. Okay, Mohammed, JazakAllah khairan for taking the time to educate and empower myself and my listeners. And to you and your team, may the Almighty reward you for the service that you are giving to humanity. I know every time that you are called out in the line of duty, you know, your life is at risk, and you and your team still go out and do what you need to do. And I know you've been faced with very, very challenging scenarios where, unfortunately, you have seen death in the most gruesome ways, was when you get to the scene for fires. And may the Almighty reward you all in abundance for the work that you do. And thank you so much for looking after us and the community of Johannesburg. So I could say maybe on behalf of the people of Johannesburg, JazakAllah khairan for the exceptional work that you and the fire department do in ensuring that we are safe.
JazakAllah khairan. To all the listeners out there, use the little advice that we are getting, and we plead that we don't meet by accident.
Amen.
Look safe. The Easter weekend is coming. Wherever you are traveling, travel safely. From the City of Johannesburg Emergency Management Services, I plead to the people is, whatever you do, think safety. And
most
always
definitely
remember the emergency number, 112-101-77. 011-375-5911.
JazakAllah khairan to Mohammed Mari from the Johannesburg South Emergency Services. Unfortunately, we couldn't get hold of Martin. Martin is going to speak to us as well. He deals with disaster management. He is actually on call right now. We pray that he is safe. To all our listeners, inshallah, let's put into practice what we've learned today. Many of us know it already, but you know, we always do need the reminder. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us safe. May Allah protect us from all calamities, and inshallah, let's use what we can to empower other people, and may Allah be pleased with our efforts, inshallah. I look forward to chatting to you again next week. On behalf of myself and my engineer Shu'aib, have a good week ahead, and please remember us in your du'as, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.